राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे 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 गोविंद राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे 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 गोविंद गोविंद राधे 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 गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद 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 राधे
गोविंद राधे वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की सो फार इन दिस सीरीज एक्सप्लेनिंग हु आर राधा एंड कृष्णा आई हैव ओनली बीन टॉकिंग टू यू अबाउट श्री कृष्णा दस फार एंड आई एक्सप्लेन टू यू दैट अकॉर्डिंग टू आर वेदास विच आर द फाउंडेशन ऑफ ऑल स्क्रिप्चुरल नॉलेज इन सनातन धर्म Shri Krishna is Supreme God. All other forms of God are Shri Krishna, who himself appears in those forms. So there's nobody and nothing beyond Shri Krishna. Whatever exists, exists within him. So he is called the Parat Par Tattva. Tattva means an existing thing. And Parat Par means beyond, beyond. Beyond everything, there's nothing left after Shri Krishna. There's nothing after him. Everything is within him. So he is the absolute supreme. The souls are within him, Maya is within him, and all the forms of God are within him. They're all his swanch. That's another term that's used. We are also said to be his ansh, but we are jeev, we're not God. So ansh means we're a part of him. But what part of him? We're a part of his jeev shakti. He has three main powers. Krishnera ananta shakti tate tin pradhan. Chit shakti, maya shakti, jeev shakti nam. Antaranga bahiranga tatastha kahi jare. Antaranga swarupa shakti savar upare. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Shri Krishna, although he has unlimited powers, but out of all of those, three are main. They are called swarup shakti, that is his antaranga shakti, his personal internal power. It's also called yogamaya. I referred to it by yogamaya shakti yesterday. It has several names, Swarup Shakti, Yogamaya Shakti, Chit Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. These are all words for Krishna's personal power. Then we have Maya Shakti, that is his external potency, Bahiranga Shakti. Not that it actually exists outside of him, because as I said, nothing exists outside of Shri Krishna. But it's said to be his external power because it doesn't have all of its characteristics, you could say, are anti-divine, the opposite of all the divine characteristics. Any divine thing is perfect. Is Maya? No, Maya has naturally negative and positive qualities. So nothing in this world is perfect. Everything that exists degrades and ends. The happiness of the world even has that quality. Whatever happiness you find, it quickly slips through your fingers and then you're looking for something else. So Maya doesn't have any divine qualities, so it's said to be his external potency. And souls are in between. We're tatast. Tatast means we're not in one or the other. One meaning Swarup Shakti, and the other meaning Maya. When we say we're Ansh of God, it means we're Ansh of that middle power. His middle power is called Jeev Shakti, all the souls. We can't be Ansh of Maya, because if we were, we would also be Jad. We'd be lifeless energy, just like Maya. But we're not. We're alive. We have a conscious mind. So that means we have divine qualities like God, but we can't be said to be part of His Swarup Shakti, because if we were, we would have unlimited power like God does. Unlimited almightiness, unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss. We'd have all those God-like qualities, but we don't. So it means we don't belong in Swarup Shakti, nor do we belong in Maya Shakti, so we're in between the two. We're on the tat. We're not in the river, nor are we in the forest. Where are you? On the bank, on tat. So we're tatastha shakti. That's how Jeev is described. So we are His Ansh, we're a part of Krishna, but specifically we're a part of His Jeev Shakti. So there's a term used, Vibhinnansh. Vibhinna means separate. We're not God, we're a separate entity from God. So we're Vibhinnansh. Other forms of God that I've been mentioning, Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, they are also Ansh of Krishna. I've been using this term for them as well, saying that they're part of His personality. But they are Swansh, Swa-Ansh. Swa means one's own. So they are Ansh of Swarup Shakti. Therefore, they have all the unlimited powers. And they are Shri Krishna Himself. But He's only revealing a fraction of Himself. So they're called Ansh, Swa-Ansh, Swansh. And we are Vibhinnansh. And all of us depend on Shri Krishna. All of His Swansh, all the avatar, all the forms of God, they are established in Him. The Vibhinnansh, the souls, we get our life from Him. And then Maya Shakti also, it only, although it's not alive, but it's actively functioning, kind of like a computer is not alive, but it functions actively as long as there's electricity coming into it and it's turned on. So God is also activating Maya. He's giving the power that allows Maya to be active. So nothing exists independently from God, but we do exist individually. We are individual entities. God is Himself, we are souls, and Maya is Maya. These are the three things that exist eternally. But Shri Krishna is supreme because everything exists within Him and depends on Him for its existence, whether it be souls, other forms of God, or the world. And that same Shri Krishna, who is supreme God, the Lord of everything, He appears in this world, on this earth planet, in this Brahmand. And when He appears, He's the same Supreme God, but He doesn't always act like Supreme God. Initially He did. He appeared in His almighty form before Devaki and Vasudev. He wasn't born, He appeared. Then He became, at the request of Devaki, He became just like a one-day-old baby. And He started His leelas of growing up. And much of the time He acted like an ordinary boy, just like your kids grew up. If you had seen Shri Krishna growing up, He would have appeared much the same most of the time, doing all the same things, crying when He's hungry, playing, learning to crawl, learning to walk, learning to talk, all the same things your kids did and do. And I asked the question, can that really be the same Supreme God who's monitoring every thought of every soul and upholding the existence of the whole universe? Could that really be the same God who's learning to crawl and learning to walk and He's afraid to stand up because He might fall over? Or in the Leela we were looking at, that I was talking about yesterday, where, like little kids do, he liked to eat soil. Kids just do. I don't know what it is. They see soil, they want to put it in their mouth. So Krishna also had this habit. And his mother, thinking that this is not a good habit, I need to break him of this habit, today she's decided I'm going to tie him to the ukul and threaten him with this little stick, this little santi. And Shri Krishna is actually crying and trembling and shaking before her. How can Supreme God be afraid of a soul? Yashoda Maiya is a soul. She may be a saint, but she's still a soul. And God is trembling before a soul and crying out of fear. So how does this happen? I started to explain this yesterday, telling you that out of all of Krishna's powers, in fact, I just explained it in a little more detail, he has his Maya Shakti, his Jeev Shakti, and his Swarup Shakti. So let's leave aside the souls and leave aside Maya, just that Swarup Shakti. Krishnera Swarup Sat Chitta Ananda Krishnera Swarup Ataeva Swarupa Shakti Hoya Tinarup Sadanshe Sandhini Anandanshe Hladini Chidanshe Tare Gyan Karimani Hladini Sara Anchatara Prema Nam Hladini Shaktera Paramasar Taro Prema Nam. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that looking at that Swarup Shakti, God's personal power, it actually has three aspects because God is Satchit Anand. Shri Krishna has those three divine qualities, Sat, Chit, Anand. So they manifest, or because he has those qualities, his personal power manifests in three ways. We call it as three different powers, actually. Hladini Sandhini Samvitvayeka Sarvasanshraye. Vishnu Puran names the three of them. The part, or the, you can say, because of the Anand quality of Shri Krishna, that personal power manifests as Ahladini Shakti. That's the power that makes Shri Krishna blissful. That Chit quality manifests as, that causes the personal power to manifest as what we call Samvit Shakti. This is what makes Shri Krishna all-knowing. And the Sat quality causes that personal power to manifest as Sandhini Shakti. This is his almighty power, through which he does all the almighty works, like creating the universe. Now, out of these three, Ahladini is supreme. Why? Because Sat is included in Chit, and Sat and Chit are included in Anand. So Anand is supreme, so the Anand aspect of his personal power, Ahladini Shakti, that's supreme. And the essence of Ahladini, remember I told you, God is bliss. So he's bliss, he has his Ahladini Shakti. But Shri Krishna is the bliss of the bliss, or he's the absolute bliss. So what is that called, the essence of that Ahladini Shakti? That is called Prem. Or there's another word that we use, Bhakti. This Bhakti is not the Bhakti we do. When we say Bhakti Karo, Man Se Bhakti Karo, do devotion with your mind. It's not that devotion that we have to do. This is a divine power. It's also called Bhakti. This is a power that we can attain, it's not something we can do. The other bhakti that we do, I'll talk about later in a few minutes. This divine bhakti is the essence of the Ahladini Shakti, which is the essence of God's Swarup Shakti, which is his personal supreme power. So you can imagine the greatness of this power, this Prema Bhakti. There's nothing beyond that. I said there's nothing beyond Krishna, but even within Krishna, he has all these powers. And amongst all of those powers, the supreme one is his Swarup Shakti, his personal power. And that Swarup Shakti has three aspects. Among those three aspects, the Ahladini, the Almighty, and the knowledge, the Ahladini is supreme, the power of bliss. And even that power of bliss has an essence, a quintessence, you can say, and that is called prema bhakti or bhakti. So, truly, there's nothing beyond that bhakti. So, what is the relevance of all of this? We need to understand this to understand how these leelas happen. Because in these leelas, Shri Krishna has become alpagya, alpashaktiman. Alpagya means ignorant. Like a young boy is basically ignorant, right? They know very little. So Shri Krishna is just like that boy. A young boy trembling before his mother is basically powerless. So he's alpashaktiman. He has very little power. Yet he's supreme God. He has his samvit shakti, which means he's all-knowing. He has his sandini shakti, which means he's all-powerful. Where did those powers go? They didn't go anywhere. They merged into this power of bhakti. That's it. Just like I told you yesterday, when the sun rises, even if the moon is still on the horizon, you don't notice it anymore. Its brightness is negligible in front of the brightness of the sun. So because that bhakti is supreme, the almightiness and the knowledge just become negligible. They're drowned in the power of that bhakti. They're still there, but they're unseen, unnoticed, or unmanifest, you can say. But Shri Krishna is still Supreme God. The same Shri Krishna who's trembling before Mother Yashoda still knows what you're thinking. The same Shri Krishna who's afraid to take a step because he might fall down, he's still upholding the existence of this entire universe. So he's still Supreme God, but he's not acting like Supreme God. He's revealing something more. And all of this happens through this power of bhakti. That bhakti just makes Shri Krishna, you can say, forget. Not forget in the way that we've forgotten who we are. We forget we're the soul and we start thinking we're this body. That's real ignorance. Krishna doesn't have that kind of ignorance. He doesn't forget who he is in that way. But the bhakti is the main power. So when that is allowed to manifest, the knowledge and the almightiness are just drowned in that power of bhakti. Yet they're still there. So that's the secret of this leela with Mother Yashoda. See, Shri Krishna in these Braj leelas, he's fully manifesting this power of bhakti. So he's not behaving in an almighty way most of the time, but if that almighty power is ever needed, it's there. So here, Shri Krishna's in trouble. He did eat the soil. Maya's threatening him. He's going to get hit with a stick because his mouth just opened. She's going to see the evidence in his mouth. So his almighty power, this Sandini Shakti or Aishwarya Shakti, says, oh no, I can't allow that to happen. My master is about to get beaten. I can't see that happen. Even though Krishna had told his almighty power, no, here in Braj, I'm doing these sweet, loving leelas. There's no place for you here. If you come here, how will I behave as Nandalal or Yashoda Nandan? I'll be Supreme God, then none of these leelas can happen. So you stay outside of Braj. But she couldn't. She saw, oh, my Swami is about to get beaten. When Krishna's mouth opened, Aishwarya Shakti came in very fast in his mouth and showed Mother Yashoda the whole universe. So Maya was looking in his mouth for a little bit of mitti, a little bit of soil, and instead of finding a few grains in between his teeth, what she was looking for, she found Ananta Brahmand of mitti. That much mitti. She saw all the different Brahmans. She saw all the forms of God. She saw all the souls, all the living beings, everyone and everything inside her little boy's mouth in an opening that size. So naturally, she became dizzy. She dropped the stick. She didn't know what was happening. She became very confused, thinking, who is this little boy? I thought he was my loving son. And that's what makes those leelas possible, is that the saints also forget, technically forget, they know on one level that Krishna is God, but they forget, just like you can say a mother doesn't care if her son is a Supreme Court judge. When he comes home, do you think she bows down to him? No, she'll scold him if she needs to. Imagine a Supreme Court judge getting scolded by his own mother. Yeah, she doesn't care who he is at work. That's my son. So that sweetness can only be there in those leelas if Shri Krishna's Bhagavata, his almightiness, is overpowered or overshadowed or becomes lean, merges into that power of bhakti. Only then all of these interesting and charming and playful leelas can happen. Otherwise, they couldn't. So Maya's not thinking my little boy is Supreme God. On one level, she knows it. But her mind is completely engrossed in these leelas. It's completely engrossed in this power of bhakti, as is Shri Krishna. So both of them don't have the consciousness. See, that's what it is. They're not conscious of the fact. They know the fact, but they're not conscious of it. It's completely buried. So Maya's treating little Krishna as my little son, and Krishna only is conscious of this much. That mother, she's my mother. I'm not God. I'm the son of her, and I'm in trouble. That's all he knows. So he's not even acting. He's not pretending to be scared. He is scared, just like any little boy would be scared in front of his mother in that situation. So it's not pretend leelas. It's real leelas that are made possible by this power of bhakti. But in this case, the almighty power came and saved Krishna. Said, let me show Maya a quick flash. And she saw, what's going on? Who is this little boy? So when Krishna opened his eyes and saw, then he said, something went on. Oh, that's my Aishwarya Shakti came. That's why mother's looking like this. So then he just made her forget this power of bhakti or prem. It's also called his Mohini Shakti. So using that Mohini Shakti, he just made her forget what she had seen. And she thought, oh, I must have been hallucinating. No, look, it's my same little Lala. But then she forgot about beating him. She untied him. So, bach gaye. The point of all of this is for us to understand that Krishna is Supreme God, but the Shri Krishna we worship, when we worship him, we don't worship him as God. We know it's a fact he's God, but we're not trying to be conscious of that fact. What we're trying to do is rise above that and relate to Krishna on a closer level, thinking of him as our son or our friend or our priyatam, something closer than just God. God is too far away. Thinking of him as God is like thinking of a king. The king, okay, he's your king. There's something there. But he's the king. He's so far away. He's so high and respectable. And I'm just a subject in his kingdom. So that's not close enough. We want to be closer to God. So we just remove that consciousness of his being Almighty Supreme God. We just keep that on the side and say, just like the mother does. Okay, my son may be a Supreme Court judge. That's fine. But to me, he's my son. That's it. For everybody else, he could decide life and death. Fine, he's a Supreme Court judge. But for me, he's just my son. So that's how we do bhakti. That's what rasik saints have taught. A rasik saint is someone who didn't just attain God, but who said, no, 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 God, for me, you're not God. You're either my Swami, meaning my personal master that I can serve personally, or you're my personal friend, or you're my own son, or you're my divine beloved, my Priyatam. Those souls who became saints by worshipping Krishna in this mode, they're called Rasik saints, Rasik Mahapurush. So they've said that that's the sweetest form. Of all of Krishna's forms, meaning like formless, almighty, they say, no, yes, that's bliss, but this is higher. It's sweeter, it's further enriched. So worship Krishna not as God, go for something higher. He's yours. He's your Swami, he's your Sakha, he's your Sut, he's your Priyatam. This is what we call Raga Nuga Bhakti. This is the bhakti we have to do. How do you do that bhakti? You attach your mind to Krishna by adopting one of these relationships with him, with the goal of one day I want to become like Mother Yashoda. So we do devotion with those feelings, putting aside Krishna's almightiness and just thinking of him as ours, my friend, my master, my father, my mother, my own son. That's how we do devotion. That's called Raga Nuga Bhakti. It's according to how the Brajwasis loved Krishna. And in the end, when you become a saint by following Raga Nuga Bhakti, the relationship that you adopted during your devotional stages, that relationship then gets divinized. And Shri Krishna comes to you and you stay with him forever, and that relationship becomes permanent. Now forever he's your Sakha, forever he's your son. So you become like Mother Yashoda, or like the Gwalbals, or like the Gopis. You attain that status. It's the highest status among saints, actually, is those saints who become Rasik saints by becoming Krishna's divine friends, or divine parents, or like a divine gopi. It's the highest status that a soul can attain. This is why we worship Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna has many forms, but the form that we worship here is that form where he has forgotten he's God, and we're allowed to forget he's God. And all the saints who worship him in this form and have attained him in this form, they totally forget he's God. With this knowledge now, we can understand Krishna's leelas to some extent, enough for us to benefit from them. Because these leelas are the means of doing devotion. How do you do devotion? You have to think in your mind of a relationship with Krishna, and then think of the leelas that correspond to that relationship. If you like Sakyabhav, thinking of Krishna as your friend, then think of some Sakyabhav leelas from Bhagavatam, or described by Surdasji, or described by Kripaluji Maharaj. In those Sakyabhav leelas, again, Krishna's friends aren't thinking of him as God. One day, on Gopashtami, a couple of years after Shri Krishna had started grazing the cows, his friends scolded him. They got together and they decided, you know what, today we've got to make him graze his own cows. Because when Shri Krishna started grazing the cows, their family Purohit, Gargacharya, he had come and said, now is the auspicious time for Krishna and Balaram to begin grazing the calves. At that time, they just took the calves out. But Shri Krishna was actually too small to do it on his own. But since it was the auspicious time, he was allowed to go out. But his brother Balaram, his older brother, and all the other Gwalbals, they actually did all the work. Krishna went along and played. And they were fine with that because he was so little. But now a couple of years have gone by, and they're thinking, he's still just playing all the time. We've got to break him of this habit. So they're telling him, Kanhaiya, today, you know what? you have to take a turn grazing the cows. Because, you know, all those boys get together, each one of them will bring his family's cows, and they all come together because when they share the labor, then fewer of them have to work at any one time. You know, it just takes a couple of boys to watch everybody's cows, and everybody else can relax and play around. But Krishna never took a turn. He was always just playing around, which was fine in the beginning, but now he's more than old enough to start doing it on his own. So they're telling him, Krishna, you take a turn with the cows. And he says, what? You guys graze the cows every day. You know, what's gotten into you today? I never have to graze the cows. Why today? No. Enough is enough. You just do manmana all the time. We know, you know, so we're doing all the work and sometimes you just go and climb a tree and play your flute. Or you go back to the goshala because you know no one is there. All the cows are out and everybody's out grazing the cows. So you go back to the goshala and take a sleep. Take a nap because you know it's a good quiet place. No one will bother you. But we know. So no. Enough is enough. Today you have to take a turn grazing the cows. So Krishna says, I'll tell my dad on you. So they say, we're not afraid of your dad. We have a father too. What, you think you're so big? We don't eat from your father's hand. We don't take handouts from him. We don't sleep under his roof. We're not your father's servant. So Krishna's really getting them going here. They're starting to get a little worked up. You know what, Kanha? Today, you're not just going to graze the cows. You take your cows separate and graze them yourself. Enough is enough. So this goes on and on. And actually, Krishna's plan was, he wanted this to happen because he was thinking, you know, I'll just tease them a little bit like this, and then they'll start maybe calling me some names and scolding me, and it'll be fun. So Krishna likes to have fun like this because he figures, you know, in the divine world, over there, you know what, I just get to hear my stuti all the time. Everybody's singing Ved stuti, doing my arti. So I come down here, I like to hear something different. Just like if you keep eating sweets all day, you get bored of that, you want to eat something salty. So Krishna says, it'd be nice to hear some sweet taunts from my friends. So he really got them going, got them worked up. But they got to the point where, you know, they're really frustrated with him. So he said, okay, I have to diffuse the situation now. So he brought some tears to his eyes. Because... Also, he was thinking, really, it looks like there's no way out now. I really am going to have to graze these cows today. So, seeing the tears in his eyes, his friends calmed down, but they didn't relent to the point that they weren't going to make him graze the cows. They said, no, Kanha, today you have to graze the cows. So, this kind of lila, could it be possible if his friends were thinking of him as God? Never. So this is made possible by the power of bhakti that drowns his friend's mind in that sakya prem, that friend feeling that they have with Shri Krishna. And in the same way, Shri Krishna's mind is also drowned in that sakya ras. So all he's thinking is, I'm with my friends. He's not thinking I'm God and I'm with some souls. He's thinking I'm with my friends. And his friends are also thinking Krishna is our friend. They're not thinking of him as God. And that's why this lila can happen. Yet Shri Krishna's almighty power is always there if it's needed. Like when he had to lift Govardhan Hill, then he just picked up the whole hill. Bhagavatam says it was like a boy lifting a lotus flower out of a pond. It was that effortless for Shri Krishna. He just lifted it up with his left hand on his pinky, on the nail of his pinky, and held it up there. Yet his friends are still, can you imagine, even seeing Krishna do that, his friends are not thinking that, oh, you know, wouldn't you be scared? Oh, Krishna was 7 when he did that. How is that possible? Is he God? They didn't think that. They all rushed underneath and using their cow herding sticks, they started pushing from underneath to help support the mountain. And then they again were talking amongst each other, like this, you know, elbowing each other. Look at Kanhaiya. In such a critical situation, if this mountain falls where all the Brajwasis will die, and we're all holding with our full force from underneath, and even in this situation, he's still fooling around. Look at him, he's got one finger. So they're thinking, when this is over, we're going to pull his ear for this one. In fact, Krishna was the only one holding up the mountain, but they never thought of it that way, because they never thought of him as God. Even Brahma, can you imagine? Brahma one day came down and he saw Krishna having lunch with his sakhas. And they were sitting in concentric circles with Krishna in the middle, and then one circle of Gwalbals, then another circle. They're all sharing around their samosas and pakoras and roti and sabzi, everything they brought from their house. And it's like a lot of fun, because this one is saying, oh, this is so good. Here, Kanha, have some of this. And Kanhaiya sees one other friend eating something like some rasgulla. He's already taken one bite out of it. He grabs it out of his mouth and eats the rest of it. So Brahma is looking down at this whole scene and he's thinking, I thought Krishna was Supreme God. Why is he acting like this? He got confused. Just like we would have gotten confused if we didn't have the knowledge that I've been sharing with you in these last few days, that how is it that God is acting like a little boy? Now we know, because of that power of bhakti. But Brahma got confused and said, how is it possible? Maybe he's not Supreme God. Let me test him. So the cows had all wandered off while they were eating, and everybody noticed. So Krishna said, no, you all stay here. I'll go find them. You finish eating. So he went looking for the cows, but actually Brahma had put them all in a trance and transported them to a cave and kept them there. So Krishna couldn't find the cows. He came back, and then his friends were gone. Because while he was out, Brahma did the same thing to his friends. Took them all away, put them in a trance, and kept them in the same cave. So Krishna thought for one second. See, his power of gyan came when it was needed. And he knew Brahma did this. So then, using his almighty power, he appeared instantly in Brahma's abode, the topmost abode of Swarg, even before Brahma could get back to his abode. Brahma was feeling satisfied with himself. Ah, we'll see what Krishna does now. I'm hungry. I think I'll go back to my abode for lunch. So he's on his way back. In the meantime, Krishna has already appeared there and taken up his position on Brahma's throne, and he's taken the form of Brahma, and he's told the guards that there's an imposter Brahma coming. So when he shows up, arrest him. So Brahma shows up in his own abode to find there's another Brahma sitting on his throne, and the guards are coming at him to arrest him, yelling, there's the imposter. So he ran back down to earth to get away, and when he got back down, he thought, okay, now let me go and see, is Krishna all confused? You know, how is he reacting to this situation since I hid not only his cows but his friends? And what does he find? That Krishna's sitting there eating lunch with his friends, as he was before, and the cows are grazing nearby. So then Brahma became a little doubtful. He went and checked the cave. No, they're still there. He came back. No, they're here. He started to feel dizzy. What's going on? So then he realized, oh, I tested Krishna, now he's testing me back. So he went and he fell at Krishna's feet, and he surrendered to him. And he said, Kvaham tamo mahadaham khacharagnivarbhu sambheshtitand ghatasaptavitastikaya Vedrigvidha viganitanda paranu charya vatadvaro mamivarasya chate mahitvam. Bhagavatam. O Krishna, I made a big mistake. I'm just one Brahma of one Brahmand in this whole vast universe. I'm as insignificant as when you see a shaft of sunlight coming in through a window and you see the particles of dust dancing, moving around in that shaft of sunlight. I'm as insignificant as one of those particles of dust. And you, as Supreme God, uncountable Brahmand, can just dissolve into one pore of your body when you dissolve the whole universe. So who are you and who am I compared to you? He surrendered to Krishna and Krishna graced him, and now he was able to see that in fact all the Gwalbals who were eating there with Krishna were in fact Krishna himself, who had multiplied himself and taken the form of each and every Gwalbal and each and every one of the cows. So then Brahma brought back the other ones and Krishna returned to just his form, and Brahma went back to his abode in Swarg. So we see that Krishna is Almighty God. He does have unlimited knowledge and unlimited power, but when he's doing those leelas of Braj, then the power of bhakti, the power of prem, because it's being fully manifested, those other powers, the knowledge, the almightiness, they're subservient to the power of bhakti. So when it's manifested, they just merge into it. So you can say Krishna's supreme form is his form where he's doing these loving leelas. And if he conceals that, then he becomes almighty. If he's revealing his total self, then he's doing all these sweet, loving leelas. So that's the Shri Krishna that we worship through Raganuga Bhakti, by remembering these sweet leelas. By remembering those leelas, you purify your mind, which is the only thing you need to do to get to Shri Krishna. Remember his leelas, chant the leelas, chant his name. When your heart purifies by doing this, when it becomes completely pure, through the grace of a rasic saint, Shri Krishna's divine vision will be revealed to you. You'll see Shri Krishna, you'll see those divine leelas, and you can also take part in them and enjoy that supreme bliss of the divine world. But one part is still left out, that is, who is Radha? And we'll take up that topic from tomorrow. So we can distribute these Bhakti Shatak booklets. We'll be chanting at the very end of this booklet, Sri Maharaji's Bhakti Shatak. It's a collection of 100 couplets that Sri Maharaji wrote about the greatness of bhakti. The final 10 couplets describe about Shri Krishna, although he's Almighty God, how he does all these loving leelas with those rasic saints. So we'll be starting from verse number 91. Go all the way to the back of the book, couplet number 91.
Radhe, 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 Radhe. जत ब्रह्म को श्रुति नरिचन भरमाय पशुमति कर ओ खल बंध्यो देखाऊ ब्रज महाजाय राधे राधे देखाऊ ब्रज महाजाय
काहे खोजत
चन भर कर ओ खल बंध्यो देखाओ
रज महजाय देखाओ रज महजाय
ब्रह्म निरंजन जनि भनो सुनहु खोली निज कान अंजन बनी डोले सदा पाछे ब्रज बनी तान राधे राधे पाछे ब्रज बनी तान
जन जनो सुनाजन बनी डोले सदा पाछे ब्रज बनी तान राधे राधे पाछे ब्रज बनी
जात बुलाए हो शुक सन कादिक ध्यान बिनु ही बुलाए जात सोई घर घर ब्रज बनी तान राधे राधे घर घर ब्रज बनी तान
जात बुलाए हो शुक सत्कारिक ध्यान बुलाए जात सोई घर घर ब्रज
के अगणित गुणन को गावत वेद ऋचान दारी के गारी सुनन सोई छेड़त सखियान राधे राधे सोई छेड़त सखिया पुकार जाकर देखहु मधुपुरी सोई कुब जा को यार राधे राधे सोई कुब जा को यार
जा को कहीं निर्लेप
प्रतीत हो महाकाल बरजोर जरासंध के भय सोई भाजी बन्यो रण छोर राधे राधे भाजी बन्यो रण छोर
जाके भय भय भीत हो महाकाल बरजो जरासंध के भय सो
राम कही तेरी चान बखान सोई गोपीन संग रास कर गोपी हूँ वेदरी चान राधे राधे गोपी हूँ वेदरी चान
जाको आत्मा राम कही वेदरी चान बखान सोई गोपीन संग रात पर
अज सोई ब्रज नंद नंदन बनियाय वालन जूठन खात लखी विधि बुद्धि गई भर माय राधे राधे विधि बुद्धि गई भर माय
जाको कह अज सोई ब्रज
चत शरण सब विधि हरि हर उन मान सोई अशुमति की गोद हित लोटत रोदन ठान राधे राधे रोटत लोटत रोदन ठान
जाकिया चत शरण सब हरि हर उन मान सोई
नचे योगी अति महान नचे सोई कर ताल पैर ब्रजवीथिन बनितान राधे राधे ब्रज विधिन बनिता राधे 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 राधे
कृष्ण भगवान की।